Ago, when David was a little boy, he and I had a father-son thing. I would look at him and I'd go, ha! And he'd go, ha! And then he'd run and jump into my arms. And I remember he'd gotten a little bigger. And I hadn't done that with him for a while. And one morning, he came by and I just grabbed him and picked him up. And he looked me in the eye and he said, Dad, you haven't lifted me up lately. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Dick, you haven't lifted me up lately. My son taught me a tremendous lesson. I mean, I learned from that in a split second. I thought, my goodness. You know, it just what David said, the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to my spirit. This morning, I want to talk, not really preach, but talk to you about a portion of John that we've looked at, John chapter 4. Before we go there, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, we need your help this morning. Most of all, the pastor needs your help. I would ask that you would intervene in his body, that you would strengthen it and heal it, and give him a real peace that you are helping him through this. And there are others, Lord, who need healing. Coraline needs your touch, Lord. We would ask that you touch her and lift the weariness and the heaviness from her heart. Lord, I pray for Stevie, that you continue to touch him. And Lord, there are many others. Some are in nursing homes, who some of the people here visit, and they know them. We pray for them and lift them up. And then, Lord, we pray for ourselves. Each of us needs to hear a word from you this morning, something that we can take and live on through this week. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 4. I understand some of you talked about this Samaritan woman this morning, and I just want to take a little bit that Jesus said to her. The problem with men's pockets is stuff gets down in them and you can't get them out. All right. John chapter 4. We're going to look at 19 through 26. You remember, Jesus was at the well and he was talking to this Samaritan woman. Now, a Samaritan was a Jewish person, had married a Gentile, and they had been more or less cast out of Judea, and they lived north of in Samaria. Today, that's where the Elbels actually have their ministry. It's called the West Bank. It's the same as Samaria. And Samaria, the town, is now called Nablus. If you want something to pray for the Christian bookstore in Nablus. They opened the Christian bookstore, and then the powers that be wouldn't let them sell books, but now they are selling books, even though they're not officially open. But pray for that little bookstore. It's having a tremendous effect. You know, the Lord's winning in Israel in a unique way. He's winning the hearts of the Palestinians to him. And that's what the Elbel's ministry is so exciting about. And you can be a part of that by lifting them up and praying for them. Anyways, let's get back off that rabbit trail and back to John chapter 4. I'm going to read 19 through 26. Anyways, he's in Samaria, he's sitting at the well. He has said several things. Finally, this woman realizes, my goodness, this guy is more than just a man sitting here. And she says in verse 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. And then this is the key verse. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Watchman Nee, who was a Chinese theologian, spent most of his life in prison, spoke to some Bible schools before he went to prison, and they have written down what he spoke at these conferences. In his book, Ye Search the Scriptures, he says this about this passage. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit. John 4:24. He is telling us there is a basic principle, which is unless man exercises his spirit, he's unable to touch God. For God being spirit, we cannot worship him except in the spirit. If we engage anything other than the spirit, we shall altogether fail to worship. We cannot worship him with our mind, nor our emotion, nor our will. Will worship is of no value whatsoever. And he goes on to say this, since the Lord's words are spirit, they must be read in the spirit. In other words, spiritual things can be touched by the spirit alone. This Bible, which we have, is more than words printed on paper. As far as its nature is concerned, it is spirit. Hence, all who intend to read this book need to use their spirit. There is no other way to read it. Of course, the spirit we refer to here points to the spirit of the regenerated person. For the sake of convenience, let us, for the time being, call it the regenerated spirit. Since not everyone has this regenerated spirit, neither can anyone understand the Bible, only those who have this regenerated spirit are able to study the scriptures. The spirit is to be used in reading the Bible as well as in worshiping God. Without this spirit, none may know God nor know the Bible. Now, that's some pretty strong stuff, but Jesus here is saying some pretty strong stuff. In fact, in Gary's class on Isaiah this morning, he read a passage that said, what's coming to Israel is going to sweep like a hailstorm. This is the kind of thing that swept like a hailstorm. This was something they had never heard of, worshiping God in spirit. They didn't understand what he was talking about. In order for us to understand what he's talking about, let's back up a little bit. God said, let us make man in our image. That means we're three parts. For sake, I'll just use circles. We all of us have a body. Contained within that is our soul. That's your emotions, your mind, all that you think about. Your body is your physical. This is your hand. And then inside of that is a spirit. That's the innermost part of man. God's three parts too. You got God the Father. God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. Now, in essence, what the scripture is saying here is, in order to worship God properly, our spirit has to connect with the Holy Spirit. That's how we worship properly. Now, in order to do this, notice that in order for your prayer from your spirit to get to the Holy Spirit, it's got to go through what? Your soul and your body. Those are the flesh. Those are the things that you think about, your hobbies, your life, the misery of all the things that bother you, your sickness, everything that concerns you and yourself. Now, before you became a Christian, oftentimes you'll even hear the world say, body and soul. They understand body and soul. They understand these two parts. This part they don't understand because their soul, in essence, the scripture says, is dead. It's not alive to God. When you become a Christian, that's what happens. God's spirit enters into your spirit and brings life to it. It's a fabulous thing. In fact, turn to 2 Corinthians. There are some verses in here that are just, well, they're just exciting when you think about what they do for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to bounce around a little bit in this chapter, but stick with me. Let's look at 4 through 6. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. This is Paul speaking to them. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Sufficiency being power and success. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, which is the law, but of the spirit. For the letter kills. The end of the law is you haven't kept it, so you die. I mean, that's the end. It kills. But the spirit gives life. And then jump to 14. He's talking here about the Israelites and all of Moses' descendants. He says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What the Holy Spirit does inside of us allows our spirit to break out through the bondage of the body and the soul, of the things that are already in your mind that are not sanctified, that tend to hold you down. I read a novel this week about, and I never knew this, coal miners in Scotland were slaves to the laird of the town. They were slaves. And if they got out of hand and tried to run away, they put a steel ring around their neck, and it was there for the rest of their life with the guy's name on it, that they were a slave to this laird. And the whole book, it's a novel, but it was written by a guy who researched this because he found one of these rings in his backyard when he was digging in the garden in a box. And it had he very carefully got down to it and had the laird's name. Well, then he wrote the whole novel about this. But then he went back and researched it. And sure enough, in Scotland, men and women were unbelievable what they did. The men would go down early in the morning, and there was no elevator. They went down 200 steps, 200 feet underground, and they'd lay on the ground in the water, because there was lots of water in the mine, and they'd hack with a pick the coal loose. Then the wives and children would come down with bags, some of them weighed 200 pounds of coal, and drag them up those steps for 15 hours. The men worked for 8, but the women and children worked for 15 hours. It was an incredible book. But the whole point of the book was that this guy got his freedom. And he had that thing around his neck, and he had a blacksmith take it off when he ran away. But think of the freedom that we now have. No longer, just because you're sick, can't you? You know, that doesn't hold you in anymore. Just because your emotions are running away with you, that doesn't hold you in anymore. Your spirit is free to connect with the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And the Lord says right here, the Lord is the Spirit. And in verse 17, the Lord is the Spirit. Again, talking about the Trinity, all three in one. I don't fully understand that, but I'm perfectly willing to accept that the three of them are one, and the one are three. So, but that's how it works. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. That's a little further on from Corinthians. Excuse me. Oh, yeah. It's just the next book. Galatians chapter 5. Again, I'm going to bounce around this chapter. The last section we saw, we have liberty in the Spirit. Now, stand fast in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. He was talking to the Galatians. They were kind of like missing their church traditions back in the Jewish synagogue, and they were starting to bring some of that stuff back. And he's saying to them, look, you're free. You don't need this. You don't need to put yourself back into bondage. Put the ring back around you and start doing all these traditional things. Jump down to verse 5. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. And then jump to 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then go to the very end of the chapter, 24-25. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, the title of my sermon this morning is taken from John 4, Worship God in Spirit and in Truth. Do you see that the Lord is clearly teaching that God is a spirit, and to worship him properly, we have to worship with our spirit to worship him? Okay, so you say to me, okay, Dick, I understand that, but how do you do that? How do we actually get in the Spirit? David, the King David, wrote some great psalms. Turn to Psalm 25. And when he wrote this, I doubt if he actually knew that he was writing this. And I'm sure that this same message is in other parts of the Scripture, but this is really a good thing. Psalm 25, let's look at the first seven verses. We're going to sort of take them apart a little bit. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. The first thing he does here, in the first four words, he says, to you, O Lord. And what he does is give us a way to get into the Spirit, to get through. I love what the full gospel people call it. They call it praying through. They pray through. And that helps me to understand what they mean. They get the flesh, get things out of the way, and they pray through. To start, though, the first thing of getting into the Spirit is we have to acknowledge God. And David does this. He says, to you, O Lord, and he acknowledges, I'm speaking to you, Lord. I'm reaching out to you. And then in the second part, second verse, it says, oh my God, I trust in you. So we have to acknowledge and trust God. Secondly, notice what he does. He submits or yields to God. He says, Lord, don't let my enemies get ahead. He's saying, only you can keep me from these enemies. And he says, keep me out of that. And then further down, he says in verse 7, don't remember my sins and my transgressions. He's asking forgiveness. He's yielding to God. So the second step to getting our spirit in tune with the Holy Spirit is submitting or yielding to God. He said, at the very beginning, I lift up my soul. I mean, he's praying through. He's saying, Lord, here's all the things that are on my mind. Here's my emotions. Here's everything. I'm giving it to you. I'm getting through this. And then he says, he asks forgiveness for sin. But then notice the third thing that he does. He says it twice. In the third verse, he says, indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. And then at the very end of 5, he says, on you I wait all the day. That word in the Hebrew is like a piece of rope. You know how rope is made out of all these little strands into one big thing? It means you intertwine yourself with the Lord. That's what wait means. It doesn't mean you sit there. It means you intertwine yourself with the Lord. And in fact, he intertwines him and begins to seek him in this waiting period. But for simple things, we've got acknowledge, submit, and the third thing is wait. Notice how he waits in verse 4. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Show me, teach me, lead me. That's how you wait. You're seeking the Lord to show you how to do these things. Go back to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at, again at 24 and 25. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He's taken care of the soul and the body. He's asked forgiveness, and he's yielded it to the Lord. That's taken care of. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, that's for another sermon, the walking part. I mean, I'm just getting us to the place where we understand how our spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. The walking is a little, that's a lot more sermons. In order to worship God in the Spirit, we acknowledge Him as Lord of our lives. We submit to Him by asking forgiveness of our sins and crucifying the flesh. And then, coming into harmony, when our spirit doesn't have this stuff in the way anymore, when our spirit can connect with the Holy Spirit, and thus with the whole of God, when that harmony exists, we can begin to wait on the Lord. Let Him teach us. If you're facing a hard decision, the first thing, now I don't do it the first time. It makes me so mad that I don't do this right away. I don't just, okay, Lord, I yield to You. Now I'm going to give it to You. No, I try and do it on my own. I can solve this on my own. And I don't think it through. But if I think it through, if we do think it through, if we acknowledge, okay, Lord, You're Lord. Okay, Lord, I yield to You. Okay, Lord, I'm going to wait on You for an answer. Then, coming into harmony with His Holy Spirit, by waiting upon Jesus and seeing His teaching, the Spirit works in our spirit, and we can daily walk and live in the Spirit. Remember, the key to a Spirit-filled life is recognizing that God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That truth is what He'll share with us as we seek, which Pastor shares from up here, Ray and Gary and others share in Sunday school, the cell groups, the word gets shared again. You in your Bible study share. The Bible becomes much more exciting when you know the author. When I was in the Navy, I was stationed in Key West. Boy, I had tough duty. That's why I got out of the Navy. I figured I never could do any better than I had already had. But I used to go down. There's three islands right in a row. There's Key West, Stock Island, and then Boca Chica. Boca Chica is where the big Naval Air Station is. And I would go down to Key West, and I had a church there. But one afternoon I went down, I was swimming. You can go snorkeling with a mask and fins and stuff. And I met a young man, and we got talking. And he introduced me to a man who was an author. And they invited me to supper. So I went back to the base, cleaned up, came and ate supper with them at a house in Key West. And he told me about a book that he was writing. Now, it's not a book I would probably go and buy or pick up, but having him tell me about the book made me really interested. Here was the author telling me about the book. And again, the Lord showed me a great lesson. When we go and we get things sorted out, pray through, get the trash in our lives out of the way so that our spirit is connecting with the Holy Spirit, you're talking to the author. He can tell you what he's trying to say, and he can teach you and you can learn. This is a great freedom, a great liberty that we have. And it's what you have to share with people. I mean, you know, the guy at work or the lady, they don't have this. Inside of them, for all intents and purposes, is dead because they don't have a living spirit. That's the exciting thing about being a Christian, is to be able to share that and say, hey, I'll show you something. And you, in your own way, just tell them what the Lord did in your life and how that lets you connect with God. People are hungry for that. You're hungry. When you come on Sunday morning, the two things should happen. One is you should be hungry to hear from the Spirit of God. But you should also come filled up in your spirit with what the Lord's been doing for you during the week. Then we start building each other up. Lou shares with me how the Lord's done something for him. I share with somebody else what the Lord's done with Stevie or something. That's how we build each other up, by knowing that God has been dealing with our spirit all week long. And you know, the great thing about being brothers and sisters in Christ is not that we're in a competition, but that we're working together. And we should come filled to give, but also hungry to receive. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, how we love You this morning. And again, we do lift up our pastor. We want him to be better.